in the midst of the domain which their intelligence had, as it were, civilized. But at any rate, this ship brought news from the world, perhaps even from their native land. It was bringing fellow creatures to them, and it may be conceived how deeply their hearts were moved at the sight. From time to time, Pencroft took the glass and rested himself at the window. From thence he very attentively examined the vessel, which was at a distance of 20 miles to the east. The colonists had as yet, therefore, no means of signalizing their presence. A flag would not have been perceived, a gun would not have been heard, a fire would not have been visible. However, it was certain that the island, overtopped by Mount Franklin, could not have escaped the notice of the vessel's lookout. But why was this ship coming here? Was it simple chance which brought it to that part of the Pacific, where the maps mentioned no land except Tabor Islet, which itself was out of the route usually followed by vessels from the Polynesian archipelagos, from New Zealand, and from the American coast? To this question, which each one asked himself, a reply was suddenly made by Herbert. "Can it be the Duncan?" he cried. The Duncan, as had been said, was Lord Glenarvan's yacht, which had left Ayrton on the islet, and which was to return there some day to fetch him. Now the islet was not so far distant from Lincoln Island, but that a vessel, standing for the one, could pass in sight of the other. 150 miles only separated them in longitude, and 70 in latitude. "We must tell Ayrton," said Gordon Spilett, "and send for him immediately.